Blog Talk Radio.
They're gonna do a kidney biopsy.
Oh boy!
why my protein levels are just so high. They're going to put a needle on my back and go into my kidney.
Okay. Well, before we get on with the message, I want to meet together with everybody, and I want to have a prayer for Pastor Ken. So if you'll all join with me right now, Father, Abba, you say that where there's two or more gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. I offer up our brother Ken right now. I pray that thou might heal this sickness and disease that he has. Help it to go away. It has to be your will. I know that. But I really believe that you don't want him suffering with this any longer. And I pray right now a healing upon Pastor Ken, that your angels will come down and touch his cancer and heal it so that it doesn't come back. And it goes away, and forever and ever he is healed from pain, sickness, and disease. We ask these things in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, what I chose to talk about today is, it's called, Who's Your Best Friend? Who's your best friend? What is a best friend? And what does it mean to have a best friend? I'm going to look at that. Pastor Ken, I would really appreciate it if you'd open us in prayer.
You want me to open up in prayer?
Absolutely.
All righty. Dear Lord, we come to you today, and we know that there's people out there having problems, okay, and we hope that you can help them, work them out, and that you guide us on our path in life, okay, and that you see that we are well. And we pray this in the dear Lord's name, of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I looked at this. This message is actually on my YouTube page, for those of you who don't know. It's called, Who's Your Best Friend? And the reason I made this message was because I was going through some really rough times. I went through a divorce, and I had some really not so good friends. And I really felt alone. And I didn't quite know how to handle it. So I looked up the world definition of friendship. Contrary to popular belief, your best friend doesn't have to be with you 24/7 or think or act like you. Truly, a best friend can be the exact opposite of you, and this usually leads to fights and difficulties and getting along, but somehow you still just love them to death. Anyway, the definition of a best friend is very simple. One's closest, most, and dearest friend. I'm sure you're familiar with this, Pastor Ken. Baker's Evangelistic Bible Dictionary.
Yeah.
Theology, friendship, most of the Old Testament words translate to friend. Did you hear that? Jesus encourages his followers to invite needy strangers. Did you get that? Not friends to their tables. According to Luke 14, 12, verses 12 to 14, in a parable of the Good Shepherd, he extends the definition of friendship. But he goes a step further and talks about true friendship. Is when somebody knows you better than yourself and takes a position in your best interest in a crisis. Friendship goes beyond just sharing time together, and it is long friendship. It can mean different things to different people. And I'm sure if we did a poll, you would have all kinds of definitions of what a friend is. And that's okay. There are people in your life that are acquaintances, which I call people that I meet in passing, people that I talk to, people at work, things like that, that I work with on an everyday basis. Those are friends. Or they are feel-good friends. They say what you want to hear, but they're not saying what you need to hear. And a true friendship doesn't pull any punches. It's very direct, very bold, because you know that person the best. When I look at my best friend, he has always been there. I may not talk to him for months, but he's still there. He's always there. He's always watching because he cares. We met in school, and by definition, he is my best friend. But that's not what this parable is referring to. Those people that you go to coffee with and go out and have parties with and go to the movies with, those are friends. Yes, they are best friends, besties, buddies, pals, confidants, however you want to say it. But that's not what the Bible refers to as friendship. Let's look at the definition one more time. Most of the Old Testament words, and you know this, Pastor Ken, in Hebrew, Arabic, and Greek, can be translated to friend, can't they?
Yeah.
And you know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. And what is the Hebrew word for friend?
Oh, I forgot. Do you know?
No. I didn't go that far into the study. I wanted to make it as basic as possible for people not like us that have studied the Bible. So I want to make it very clear. So if you'll take time with me and turn to Luke chapter 14. And we're going to look at verses 1 to 35. I use, because I can't find it online, the SFR. I can't find that online, but I do use something very similar to it, which is the Darby translation. Luke chapter 14. It came to pass when he was in the house of one of the rulers, who was the Pharisee, to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they were watching him. Now that I said that, Pastor Ken, is Sunday the Sabbath day?
Well, no. Actually, the Sabbath day is Saturday, Friday night.
Yes.
Friday night is sundown, to Saturday night.
Yes. And this world has conformed to believing, and you hear people say it all the time, Sunday's the Sabbath. No, it's not. Not according to the original manuscripts. Not according to the New Testament. Not according to the Old Testament either. And behold, there was a certain disciple, man, before him. And Jesus answered and spoke unto the doctors of the law and the Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Here we go. According, and correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor Ken, but according to the Sabbath tradition, you're not supposed to do anything. Am I correct?
That's right. That's correct. You're not supposed to do anything.
That means going to work. That means preparing meals. That means doing dishes. That means anything, nothing. It's the day of rest, according to what it says in Exodus chapter 20. And on the Sabbath day, God rested. But continue. But they were silent. And talking to him, he healed him and let him go. I'm sure with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders of the day, this just really irked them something terrible. They were probably very upset about this, that he actually healed on the Sabbath. Jesus answering said to them, of which of you, donkey or ox, fall into the wall, that he does not straightway pick him up on the Sabbath day? Now, Pastor Ken, I need a little clarification here. Is it okay to do something that is necessary, but not normal?
You mean on a Sabbath?
Yes.
Well, it all depends on what it is.
Exactly.
Okay? If it has to do with any kind of work involved, then no. You can't do any work. But if it's something other than work, then yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So something happens, like for an example, if I was to break my leg, I don't sit at home, I go to the hospital.
You're not supposed to drive, okay? So
I know.
You would have to take a taxi.
Absolutely. And see, it's where friends start to come in. Because you have people that don't believe or practice the same as you do. And they would help you in this situation. But see, he stumped them, and they were not able to answer. You see, I love when he does this. I really do. I love when he stumps them. And he spoke a parable of those that were invited, remarking how they choose out the first places, saying to them, "When thou art invited to any one to a wedding, do not lay thyself down in the first place at the table, lest perhaps a more humble than thou be invited by him." You see, this is where people get friendship all mixed up. When you hear that, you automatically think that, okay, it's just referring to the friends that are close to me. No, it's not. Verse 9, "And he who invited thee and them came to say thee, give place to this man, and then thou begin with the shame to take the last place." There are many people out there in this world who say, "I'm your friend. I'll be there through thick and thin." But as we see, not all are what they say. When you've been invited to a place, go with a friendly heart. Don't go judging and high and mighty, holier than thou attitude. Don't do that. Don't. In verse 11, "For everyone exalts themselves, shall be absurd. And he absurds himself," or thyself, "shall be exalted." Now, this is not talking about a great thing. Someone who goes and exalts himself above somebody else and has a holier-than-thou attitude, not really a friend. Verse 14, "And thou shalt be blessed, for they have not the means to recompense thee, for it shall be recompensed thee in the restitution of the just." Where else in the Bible does it mention this fact? Specifically for me, I automatically go to Psalms 23. Near the end of the psalm where it says, "Thou preparest a table before mine enemies. My cup runneth over." We are to love everybody. We are to forgive our brothers and sisters. We are not to put ourselves above anybody. That's not being friend. That's not being a friend. What would you say, Pastor Ken?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
You see, we've all heard the parable about the good shepherd. This is the prime example of what a friend is supposed to do. A rabbi passed the man and crossed the street. A Pharisee passed the man across the streets. A religious person crossed the street because they wanted no part of this. But please clarify this for me, Pastor Ken, because I don't have the words to really express this. Sadducees in those day and age were treated how?
The Sadducees?
Yep.
Well, they were treated with respect, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody agreed with them.
Exactly. And the Jewish people, they disowned them. But yet, this man who had been beaten and robbed, lied in the ditch, bleeding. What did this man who was not liked by many do? He took him to an inn. He dressed his wounds. He paid for his room and told the innkeeper, if there's more money when I come back, I will make it good to you. If you take that scenario, and it is in Luke, and you look at that scenario, that's a prime example of what Christ has done for us. We crucified him. We destroyed him. We whipped him. We beat him. We beat a crown of thorns on his head. We punched him. We spat at him. Believe it or not, we're all guilty of this by association. Does that mean that he hates us? No. Because all through that beating, what did he say, Pastor Ken? Are you there? Hello? You okay?
Yeah, I had to use the bathroom real bad.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. Oh, Pastor Ken, during the time that Christ was being beaten and abused for our transgressions, what was it he said to his perpetrators?
He said he forgave them.
Mm-hmm.
He said he forgave them and It was
God's
will. Okay, then he goes through that. Then he was going to go through it.
Yes, I know that. But the point is right here. Okay? That's true friendship. That's true friendship. You take you and myself. I've known for a long time that somebody's been lying about you. And because we're brothers in Christ. We forgave. That's what true friends do. That's what true friendship is all about. And when we look at the Good Samaritan, and we look at the prime example of a best friend. Now, if you're married, you better be saying your wife. If you're in a relationship, you better be saying your girlfriend or fiance. Or you're going to be in trouble. But in our hearts, in our souls, yes, I have best friends. I have very dear friends. But the greatest friend that I have in this world, my best of all my friends, Brother Ken, I love you, but I'm sorry. It's Jesus. It's Yeshua.
I love you too, my brother.
And this is how Christians should be. It doesn't matter what a brother did. It doesn't matter what a sister did. See, as we talked about the other night, true forgiveness is forgive and forget. And a prime example of that is our Savior, our Messiah. He gave his life for one purpose, so that we could go home to be with him and spend 1,000 years in the kingdom with him. How awesome is that going to be? That we actually get to spend time with. You say, Pastor Kent, well, how do I do that?
Yeah. Huh?
How do you do that?
How do you do what?
How do you spend time with your best friend that's not here?
I could call him if he's mm-hmm. not around. He can call me anytime, and mm-hmm. Okay, we can talk about things. Just general stuff. If I need him, I know he'll be there. Okay. It's
exactly.
Like he knows that I'll be there for him.
Exactly. And out of everybody in my life, I can only speak for myself. I've called my friend Steve, and he's not available. I've called my friend Ken, and he's not available. So how do you find that best friend? I have 4 letters for you. B-I-E. You want to find out what's wrong? Bible. You need confidence, you need assurance in the Bible. Our best friend, Jesus, is only a prayer away. You don't have to call him long distance. You don't have to dial an 80-digit phone number. You don't have to call him up on the phone. You don't have to go to his place to see him. You don't have to be next to him holding his hands. Do you know why? Because he's already there. He is omnipresent, which means, in layman's term, he's everywhere at once. So when I need a friend and I don't have an answer, I pray. I read his word. I meditate. I fast. And sometimes it takes a while. You have to understand, Christ's time, Yeshua's time, is not our time. Pastor Ken has explained before how the Jewish calendar and time is way different than what we have today. And to be perfectly frank, when you talk to God, it's instantaneous. You don't have to keep praying the same thing. He hears you. And there's no prayer going unanswered. He answers three ways: no, yes, and later. How is that for a best friend? You don't have to wait to call him. You don't have to wait to talk to him. You don't have to wait till he's home from work. You don't have to wait till he's not busy. You don't have to wait till he has time. Close your eyes and you say a prayer. And if you're a Christian, he automatically, with instantaneous result, hears that prayer. Some prayers take a while to answer. Some prayers don't come to fruition right away because it's not God's time. When we pray, we always pray, may your will be done. You see, God knew us before we were even an embryo. He knew Pastor Ken before he was conceived.
Oh, yeah.
He knew every single one of us before we were even a gleam in our father's eye.
He knew us at the foundation of the world.
Exactly. And I got stuck on this verse for a long time. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. He was there. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. How can you not want a best friend that never not listens, is always willing to hear your issues, is always willing to help? How can you not want a friend that way? So who is your best friend? My best friend is Yeshua, Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord and Savior. And because he is my best friend, things happen. Good things happen. When we look at the Good Samaritan, that man got healed, picture of Christ. That man got mended, picture of Christ. That man got well, picture of Christ. That man's needs were taken care of, picture of Christ. How could you not want a best friend like that? I love Pastor Ken to death, okay? But I can't be by his side all the time. But I know somebody is. I know he's always there. And I like, this is in closing, I love the way Andrew Warwick talks about prayer. Phenomenal man of God. Just about this time that I wrote this message, I was pondering some things. Why can't I? I was praying for things, and it wasn't happening. Andrew Warwick has a message. It's on YouTube. You can look it up. It's called Andrew Warwick, and I forget the name of the ministry. I'm sorry, I should have looked it up. But his name is Andrew Warwick. And what he says is this. Don't pray for something. Don't pray for your needs. Pray as if you already have them. Now, how powerful is that? When we need a friend, he's there. When we need a brother, he's there. When we need compassion, he's there. When we need healing, he's there. When we need help and comfort, he's there. You can't say that about anybody else. Anything you want to add, Pastor Ken?
Well, you basically said it all there, Pastor Ken. That's true. He's our sustainer. He allows us to live, okay?
Mm-hmm. He gave us life to give life and meaning. Pastor Ken?
Yes.
Would you please do an altar call?
Yes, I surely will. If you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to get to know him, okay, all you have to do is say this simple little prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. And I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for the earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I want to thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. So please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if you're out there and you said this prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministry would like to welcome you into the family of God. We'd like to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. And if you said this prayer, we would like you to call in to area code 657-383-1487. Once again, a number 657-383-1487, and press the 1 key. When you press the 1 key, it will come on live, and you can tell us that you accepted the Lord Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Yep. Well, that's it. We've got some callers. We've got some callers that have been waiting on quite a while. Okay?
Well,
so I'm going to bring on Pastor Leroy from 856.
Ah. Yes. Pastor Leroy, how are you?
Look here, man. This is Pastor Leroy Jackson from the Bronx, man. Look here. Look here, Kent. Look here, Pastor Kent. Look, I got to tell you, man, I do appreciate your sermon, but you got to cut it down a little bit, man. I should have been brought on here like 35 minutes ago, man. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
Pastor Kent had to give his message.
Yes, I appreciate the advice, and I will take it under advisement. However,
hallelujah.
You know, as a pastor, that basically the span of a human brain is 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Much longer than that, you lose them. And that's exactly why when I hit 20 minutes or just thereafter, I stopped and concluded. See, that's what pastors do. And then I made I asked Ken to do an altar call, which is the next thing. After you have a message, you got to have an altar call.
Amen.
Well, look, I'm a Baptist preacher, man. And in my world, you know what? I'm going to tell. I'd like to just throw down a prayer real quick. Can I do that? And then you know you can go to my calls and I'll just stay here. Just don't put me on mute, man. I'm going to read from Psalm 34:4-5-8. Straight from the Lord. Hallelujah. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. And I got to tell you, off the record, I've had a lot of fears, man. Growing up, my days and hearts.
As we all have. Yeah. Amen.
Almost died numerous times, man. Fell off a bridge once. Anyway, those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. Oh, take and see that the Lord is good. Blessed be the man who takes refuge in him. That's from Psalm 34:4-5. That's my word for the day. And let me tell you something, Pastor Ken. You go to some other callers. Just don't put me on mute, man. Pastor Ken, are you
all right? I ain't going to put you on mute.
Yeah, don't put me on mute, man. But if you got other callers.
Will we put you on mute?
No. I don't want you to put me on mute. If you got other callers. Take them, man.
Yes, I do. I've got a couple callers. I've got area code 720. Let me bring them on.
720. Yeah, come on, 720.
Hey, Ken, how you doing? Paulie here.
Hey, Paulie, how you doing?
I'm good. I hear you. You're back together with...
Well, yeah, Pastor Ken and I are back together again. Yeah.
How are you, Tex? Tex, are you there?
Oh. Yeah, I wasn't sure if you were talking to me or Ken because
we
sound so
text,
much
right?
alike. Your text?
You went by text
on
when
where?
You were in a gang back in the day. I remember I called in, I talked to you, called you a child molester. You said you were in a gang for that?
Yeah, well,
oh, what's that all about?
I was in
child
a gang.
I got a question for you, Kent. I got a personal question for you. When you were streaming your things on YouTube, on your browser, it showed Pornhub on your favorites. What's that about?
Oh.
You're supposed to be a passion.
What?
Whoa.
What are you talking about?
Man? What is
that?
It's
on YouTube. I can send Ken the link. He'll see it.
Send the link to what?
Your YouTube show, it was showing your browser. You had Pornhub on the top.
Hallelujah.
All right.
What is
so
Pornhub,
what?
Man? What is that, Pornhub?
What difference does it make?
I don't know. She was talking. She was trying to get in touch with Ken. She was messaging a bunch of us on Facebook. Trying to get in touch with Ken, saying that you said he ripped you off. But
why are we
going
over this again? We already discussed that. What does that have to do with anything? Ken and I we work things out. Why are we talking about this again?
Ken is my friend. Me and Ken go back. We go back.
Yeah, so do he and I.
I'm looking out for my brother.
So did he and
anyway,
I.
Ken, I hope you and Tony are doing good, man. I hope your cancer subsided. You're going through the remission stage. I heard you knocked out Tony Gaga. That was awesome. I just want to call in and say hi. You can put me back on mute there, bud. And if you're going to be a pastor, don't put your browser on there if you have Pornhub in your favorites. I'm just saying.
Man, what
you need to stop taking my inventory.
Pastor. Pastor Kent.
Yeah.
What?
What? What is Pornhub, man? What is that? What's going on here? I'm supposed to be on a religious channel, man. What's Pornhub?
Religious channel? A religious channel and somebody's talking about child molesting and accusing me of being a child molester? How does that... What difference does that make? You know? Why
well, God forbid,
are we listening
man.
To lies?
Oh,
why are we listening to lies?
Is it true your wife?
Yeah,
your son?
We gotta stop all that and talk about that. Okay, that's
thank
not
you.
Cool. You know
exactly.
You know, I mean, we're pastors and trying to deliver a message, and what we should be talking about is the message. Okay.
Exactly.
Hallelujah.
My apologies, Ken. I'm sorry. I'm put me on mute.
Okay, Polly. Okay, I'm gonna bring on 617. 617, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hello. You son of a bitch, Ken. Oh.
Hey, I know who this is, man. This is that fat Tony stuff.
Fucking there. Yeah,
Ken.
Oh, what did he just call me, man?
Kenny, we're going to have a wee match at the Holy Redeemer Church. All right? I am going to fuck you in the ass.
Oh. What is this, man?
I thought this was a Christian show.
What kind of show you running here, man? What is this? Is this gospel hour or porn hour, man? What is this?
Yeah, so pastor you are. Last time you knocked me out and you fucked my ass, this time I'm going to fuck your ass because my ass is not going to be fucked.
Well, now, Are you going to cut him off or what?
What is
yeah,
this,
I'm
going to
cut him off. Goodbye, Johnny.
Oh, son of a...
Well, let's
you know
just
what?
Bring on 111. Okay,
one, you're on here. Hi, my name is Tony Gibson, and I'm a first-time caller to this show. But Dr. Kent has helped me in the past after my divorce. Hello to everyone.
Hello.
How
hey,
you
who
doing?
Is this man? Who is this
yes.
man?
Hi, my name is Tony Gibson, and 6 months ago, I bought a wife from overseas who would be more compliant with my needs. I have treated her good, but now she is drinking alcohol, going out to bars, and not cooking and cleaning. My wife's boyfriend says that she is flirting with more guys at the bar. He is a nice guy, and I'm worried she's cheating on both of us. I'm her husband, he's her boyfriend, and we are boiling mad. What would God want us to do? Is reverse polygamy bad?
Look, man, let me give you my opinion on this, okay? Because I've been married 6 times, man. 6 times I've been married, okay? Now, let me give you my personal opinion on this, man. If you're a polygamist, go for it, man. There you go. Hey,
wow.
Man, give me a smoke, baby.
Thank you, Pastor Leroy. I mean, I bought my wife fair and square. I feel like she should do what I tell her, and she's not obeying her boyfriend either, and we're both very angry. And thank you for your guidance, Pastor Leroy.
You're welcome, man. Big.
Okay.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
Let's bring on another caller. Let's bring on 814, Doug. Hey, Doug, how you doing? Oh, Doug dropped. Oh, sorry about that. I don't know what happened. Maybe it was Blog Talk. I don't know if it was you. Okay, Doug, call back in, 657-383-1487. Press that one key, and we'll get right to you.
I got a pastor question for Pastor Leroy.
Yeah,
Pastor
man.
Leroy,
hey.
How
Pastor Leroy
in the name
Leroy Jackson
how
from
in the
Bronx, man?
It doesn't matter. Anyway, how?
What do you mean it doesn't
can
matter?
Can you? No, it doesn't. How can you sit there and tell a person that a polygamous marriage is okay? Fornication, adultery. Need I continue?
Pastor Kent, understand something, okay? I was born and raised in Provo, Utah. You know what happens in Utah, right?
I don't care.
Are you aware of the state of Utah?
If it's not
but that's
Christian.
What happens. Polygamy happens in Utah. He was
I don't care.
Utah.
It's still not biblical. Okay. Biblically, it's not okay. And for you
well,
as a pastor to sit there
okay.
and say that to somebody, I mean, seriously, where did you get your license? Wow.
Well, wait, what's that supposed to mean? What, because I'm a black man?
Pastor.
A bad neighborhood that I had to get my pastorhood from prison? Is that what you're saying, man?
No. Pastor is going
pastor?
To support polygamous, fornication, adultery, or any of that sinful stuff. And if you
it
do,
sinful.
I'll want nothing to do with you if you support that kind of malarkey.
Pastor Kent. Please listen to me one more time. Did you understand where that caller was calling from?
I don't care.
I grew
it's
up
still
in
not
Utah,
okay.
Man. In Utah,
it is not...
that was a normal activity. It still is
no.
today.
It's
Hallelujah.
Still...
In Salt Lake City. In
okay,
Provo.
You know what? This conversation is going nowhere. You're obviously not hearing what I'm saying. read Galatians chapter 5.
I did.
And tell me that that is okay. You can't. Biblically, you cannot sit there and tell me that an open relationship or a polygamous marriage is fine. It isn't.
I agree
and
with
you
on that.
And if you think that, you need to go back to Bible school.
I don't think that in 49 states, but only in
don't
one
care.
State. My state.
Don't care.
I believe.
Don't care. If
yeah,
it's sin,
what do you
it's
care
sin.
About? No,
sin
hold on,
is sin.
Hold on, Pastor Kent. You think you don't care? You don't care where I'm from. What do you care
no.
about, man? How about that?
I care about Christian beliefs, not sinful, worldly ideals. And if you think that I'm going to convert to your carnal way of thinking, not in this lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, polygamy is not a great thing. It's not. That's really right. I know it's practiced in Utah, yeah, along with the ALS, okay? But, you know, it's not socially acceptable in most places around the world.
I understand that. And I said in 49.
And now, I do know that in the Bible, okay, that King David had many wives. So did Solomon. Okay? Okay? It was a practice back in the day. Okay? But it doesn't mean it was right.
But that was for a purpose, Pastor Ken.
Yes.
Okay, we're not in that day and age today. Okay, and this is a thing that
Pastor Ken,
really frosts
Ken, Pastor Ken,
this is
can
thing
I, can
that
I
really
talk
frosts me off. No, because I'm speaking. This is the thing that really irritates me with this world. Okay. They allow
no, you don't
certain
like black
things
people.
To happen.
You don't like black people. That's
I never said that. You're putting words in my mouth. Don't tell me what I'm thinking. I never once said that. Not
no,
once
you didn't say
did
it.
I
you don't
ever
have to say
that.
It, man. And let me ask you a question, Pastor Kent. Let me ask you one question. What do you think about Jewish
what?
People, Pastor Kent? Do you like Jews? Do you like Jewish people?
Of course. Of course.
Oh, you do.
Why would I not like Jewish people?
Even though they killed Christ.
We all killed Christ. I said that in the message. We're all guilty of that. Because we sinned.
You
he sinned. Had to die to heal
you
us
sinned.
With his blood. It's got nothing to do with what religion you belong to. That's not Christianity.
You just don't like black people. That's
yeah, well,
is.
You're allowed to think that all you want. But not
no,
once.
I know
not
that.
Once.
I know that.
In
I can
this
tell.
Conversation.
I can tell by your voice,
okay,
man.
Listen to me. You're assuming that you know me. You just met me on Monday, and you've already judged me?
Let me tell
you
something, man.
You don't know me.
I know you better than you think I do, Pastor Kent.
That's
let me tell
nice.
You why I'm on
That's
this show,
nice.
Man. I'm on this show
uh-huh.
because of you. I watched your
uh-huh.
YouTube channel. I've seen it.
And?
I've seen your sermons. I don't agree
and?
With all of them. Some of them I do. Well, let me talk, man. Let me talk.
Wow, you are really aggressive.
I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying not to use the Lord's name.
You're not trying to be nice.
You,
you're being aggressive, and you're accusing me of things I didn't say. How am I going to be nice to that?
Hey, Leroy, maybe you're hearing things wrong, or you're perceiving it wrong.
Not once did I ever, ever in my life, when I rededicated my life to Christ, have I ever said that whether you're red or yellow, black and white, it doesn't matter because they're all precious in his sight. How can I judge you by skin? I can't. That's not Christ-like. Not at all. I have...
Pastor Ken, you got any callers on hold right now?
Listen, we're all created equal under God, okay?
I don't want to talk about this no more. I've dealt with a lot of shit in my day dealing with racism.
Aggressive.
Since I was a little tot, man. I was a little boy. You understand? And a white man came up and kicked me in the head, man, with an iron boot. Okay. So don't tell
me.
What? Don't tell me.
You need to stop living in the past, man.
Don't tell me, man.
Don't judge.
I had a broken nose,
don't judge,
man.
Don't judge every white man by what one jagwat did. That's wrong. That's not Christian either. I don't know what Bible school he went to, but oh boy.
Yeah, because I'm a black man, I went to a cheap Bible school, right?
Whatever. I never said that. Those words never come out of my mouth. Stop putting words in my mouth.
I went to the fried chicken Bible school.
Don't presume you know what I'm thinking, because unless you're God... You don't.
I went to the Collard Green Bible School, man.
I don't care what school you went to. I don't care if you went to Bob Jones University. I don't care if you went to Yale or Harvard. It doesn't make you any better than me. We're the same thing. We're pastors.
All right,
doesn't matter.
Yeah, you know,
what
I mean,
the skin color is.
We as pastors. Need to get along, Pastor Leroy. We have to come together in the name of the Lord. Okay.
I thought we were a trio, Ken. You told me that you and me and Pastor Kent were going to be a trio on the show. Yet you bring me on 45 minutes after the show starts. How do you think I feel about that, man?
Listen. Okay. Well, we have a format. Okay. The message comes first, okay? I didn't play music, but one song, okay? We did an altar call, okay? We have to go in a format, okay? And then once we got done with our message and our altar call, we take calls, okay? That's the standard practice of this show, Pastor Leroy. And I'm sorry if you feel offended that I didn't bring you on sooner. That was not my intention to offend you, nor was it Pastor Kent. Hope that you keep that patience, okay, like you did to come on. You waited. I brought you on. I allowed you to say what you want to say.
Let me do this, Pastor Kent. Let me do this. I'm going to apologize, Pastor Kent. God bless you. I'm sorry.
God bless you,
too. I'm sorry that it got us to this heated tonight. You and I are obviously from different worlds. We're from different worlds,
yes.
Man.
We are.
But I don't want to fight with
you.
But
that's okay.
I don't want to argue with you.
I never said fight or argue. I'm just telling you what biblical facts are.
I've been married
and
a lot of times.
I'll
tell you what. The reason
so have
I'm
I.
Not
I've
with
been
my
married
wife.
Four times. Does that make it okay? No. I married the wrong girl, plain and simple. Now I have God's choice because I did it right.
Excuse me, gentlemen. I have a question. This is Tony Gibson. I'm getting conflicting messages from the pastors regarding what to do with my wife. She went out to the bar last night, and she came home and brought me some food and gave me a blumpkin and said she didn't do the bukkake thing again. But I don't know.
Anyway, why are we talking about sexual stuff again?
No, I'm
you
trying
have
to
be so graphic.
That's not my intention, sir. I got conflicting message of what to do about the polygamy situation. She doesn't
affect and I'm tell me. I'm telling you what you need to do is read Galatians chapter 5. It will explain everything.
Let me write that down.
What you're doing is wrong. Wrong.
Oh,
wrong.
I've been given bad advice. I respect Pastor Leboy, but I'm very confused. I will read that passage.
Pastor Leboy is allowed to his opinion, Tony. He is. But I will not stand with that opinion because in Galatians chapter 5, it specifically says the sins of the world. And one of them is in there is adultery. And by you allowing another man to have your wife, that's adultery. Fornication. You're with a polygamous marriage. That's fornication. That's wrong.
Okay. I'm glad that you are being honest and upfront with me. I was given bad advice by my old pastor, and this new gentleman came into her life, and he is a very good auto mechanic and does the brakes on my car and the oil and the rim job and all of the other car maintenance. And he's a gentleman, but I think I need to put my foot down at this point, and I'm going to continue to follow your advice and seek godly guidance. Thank you very much, Dr. Kent. And Pastor Ken, be well, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hallelujah.
If anyone out there needs a good auto mechanic, my wife's boyfriend does a great job with the brakes and changing the oil and rim jobs and any other auto maintenance at a low cost in the Salt Lake City area. Thank you and good evening, gentlemen.
You still there, Ken? You okay? Are you still with us, Ken?
Did he fall asleep? Did he pass out?
He's having some issues today.
That's the cat. That's the cat.
I hope he's all right. I don't have the ability to do anything online because I haven't got access to the program yet. So I just have to sit here like you.
Look here, man. Look here. Let me see what I can do here. Hold on a second there. Pastor Kent.
Pastor
Leroy. Pastor
Kent.
Who's this?
Yeah. Sorry about that. My phone died. I had to recall back in.
What is this, man?
Where is what?
What happened to you, man? I thought you died or something, man. I thought you had a heart attack.
No, my phone died. Okay? It only goes for so long and then it dies. Okay?
Okay, man.
So sorry about that.
Well, I think we're going to have to come down there and beat you with a wet noodle.
So, what happened while I was gone there for a brief second or two?
I was about to do a eulogy for you, man. That's what I was going to do. I was looking him up in my book, man. I was saying, maybe I got to do a eulogy for this dude, man.
Well, I ain't Pastor Leroy. Why don't you give us a prayer?
Yeah, I got a bunch of prayers, man. Always got them ready, you know what I mean?
Amen.
All right, let's do Joshua 1, verse 9, part 6. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Don't be frightened. I've been frightened a lot of times in my life, man. I used to be in a gang when I was a kid growing up in Harlem, New York.
Sounds
and
like
don't
you're
be dismayed, for the Lord is your God. And with you, good God, y'all, wherever you go. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right. Well.
Pastor Kent, where you at, Pastor Kent?
I'm just listening.
Well, again, Pastor Kent, I'm going to say it for the last time because the show is almost over. I want to say I'm sorry for what happened between you and me earlier this evening. But I want to be a part of the show. You and I got to see eye to eye. We grew up in different worlds, man.
Uh-huh.
I guess that's a no. Pastor Kent.
Oh, I thought, sorry, I thought you were talking to me.
No, I was talking to you. I was apologizing to you.
I mean, free. I have my beliefs. That's where it stands. I mean, it's like different religions and different denominations believe differently. Does that mean Christian? No. It just means they have a difference of opinion. And if that was the case, if everybody in the world has to agree with one person, how does that have to all agree there's one God? Yes. But we don't all have to agree on every single solitary thing. Unless it goes against biblical standards, then I have a problem. You're allowed to believe how you feel. You're allowed that. And who am I to judge? I don't think in the Bible it says God can't. It says that. As a pastor, I know better.
Amen. Well, Pastor Kent, why don't you give us a closing out prayer, okay, and We'll pick back up tomorrow at 5 p.m., okay, at 6 o'clock your time. And
You're doing a message tomorrow, eh?
Yes, I'm doing a message tomorrow.
And Leroy,
Yeah.
That's Leroy.
Okay. Yeah. I want to do a message on Monday, man.
I was going to say that. I was just... You took the words right out.
All right, well, thank you, Pastor Kent. I'll do the message on Monday, and I'll be on tomorrow's show with you guys. I want it to be, I want us to be together, man, the three of us.
The three amigos.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Three musketeers.
Closing prayer.
Abba. Thank you for gracing us with your presence. Father, thank you for being here with this ministry to fruition and back together again. Thank you for bringing Pastor Leroy.
Amen. All right. Well, okay, everybody. I guess we're having some technical difficulties. I'm not sure. But anyway, okay, Pastor Kent, Pastor Leroy will be with us tomorrow at 5 p.m. I hope that you all can join us. And, okay, so we can have a great show tomorrow. I want to give a shout-out to Juan from Alabama. Give a shout-out to Isis Ward, Gavin Moorhead, Crosso, Mike Buchanan, Fans Hitter, CNS, Tommy Monahan, Terry McGillicuddy, Farrar, Brimshaw, Ashley, and Mike Hunt. Okay, God bless you all. Man Mark, too. God bless you. Have a great night. Bye-bye.